save time. And y'all know, y'all have heard me preach all these years. I'm a great hand to pin notes in my Bible and or stick them in and try to stick with it. But I'm trying to be mindful of you, and I don't want to preach long, and I've already took a long time. So in that spirit of trying, I put no notes in my Bible tonight, none whatsoever tonight. And I don't have anything in here that's I'm just gonna. And if I just blank out and forget it, well then we'll get out early. And if I don't blank out, forget it, we're going to say the Holy Ghost had something to do with it tonight. Nobody will complain about Holy Ghost preaching, will they? All right, Romans chapter 10. I'm feeling a need more and more and more as we are living in these ever-changing times. That based on what I've already said to you and trying to preface this message or this teaching tonight is that we must have a relationship with Christ. And I believe there's a lot of people that have even claimed to be saved for a long time. They do not have a love for God's Word. They do not see a need to study it, to read it, to absorb it, to take it in. They don't have a prayer life. And I just have my doubts that they really have an experience and relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we are going to get through these ever-changing times with everything that is hitting the church nowadays, amen, I'm telling you, there is no way. People talk about these preachers that won't name sin. If I took a sin every service I had the opportunity to preach and tried to preach on that sin and call it out and name it, in a lifetime of preaching, I would never ever get them all covered. So what am I to do? And it's all right if you want to talk back to me. Amen. The only thing, Brother Ken, I know to do is try to focus more on preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. For the Apostle Paul said, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. How many believe Jesus is the man for all times? Hallelujah. His word is always up to date. And if I can, if nothing else tonight, if I could do good enough to get, I looked on this row back here. Colton came and sang tonight. That there are young people sitting on that bench that do not have to be in this service. They could be doing about anything they want to do. But they are in this service. And I am so glad that you're here. And I don't want to be a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I want to bring you some meat of God's Word that if you'll learn to love God's Word and love to eat God's Word and love to drink it and love to hear it and love to talk about it to each other. You know what will happen? When I'm dead and gone in the grave, you'll still be living for Jesus. And you'll be living a holy life. Praise God. How many is going to help me preach tonight? Romans chapter 10. I'm not going to ask you to stand because I may want to comment on some of these verses while we're going through them. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And I want to debunk some scriptures tonight that have been misquoted, misinterpreted, miss whatever, ever how many misses you want to put in front of it. And a lot of people are not saved. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They only know a few little scriptures in the Bible, and they will try to use them against you to dissuade you from what you're doing. We want to try to debunk some of those tonight if we can. Right here's one of them. People say, oh, they have a zeal. Somebody got saved and they run too much or they shouted too much or they testified too much. And the only interpretation anybody ever has of that scripture is that somebody just got overzealous and they really had a zeal, but they didn't have a knowledge. And that's not exactly what this scripture is talking about. It's talking about the nation of Israel, the Hebrews. You cannot deny that they had a zeal about God. They were enthused about Jehovah.
They were very careful about the steps they took. A practicing Jew to this day will not go up onto the Temple Mount, even though the temple's been destroyed and gone for generations, hundreds of years. They will not go in that place, lest somehow by mistake they might step in the place that was the holiest of holies. Amen. They have a zeal. Y'all agree with me? They're zealous about God. They're zealous about Moses. They're zealous about the commandments. Come on now, stay with me. Amen. Oh, please, Holy Ghost, help me to preach here and help the folks. Amen. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Man, that is a powerful scripture. Listen to verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law. End. Christ is the end of the law. Amen. As it relates and as it pertains to righteousness, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. If you're a Christian and you're a believer and you've received Christ by faith, you ought to shout hallelujah. Amen. Thank God I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Christ is the end of the law for the righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Amen. Listen to verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh. It's nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You've heard it in Sunday school. You heard it when you learned John 3:16. It is in your mouth. Don't worry about sacrifices. Don't worry about works. All you need to worry about is the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I got to settle down here. This is better than what I even thought it was. Praise God. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? The zealous Jews, the Jews that have a zeal but not according to knowledge, they did not accept Christ as the Messiah. So they're still looking. They're still looking, trying to bring Christ down. Trying to bring Christ down. He's still up there somewhere. They're trying to bring him down. Amen. They're trying to bring him down. They're trying to send up with works and trying to bring him down. And then those that lived and knew that he lived and died and done miracles and all kinds of things, and they say, he didn't rise from the dead. He's still in the deep. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, maybe I'm not touching a nerve just yet here. Amen. Praise God. You don't need to do that. The word, oh man. The word is nigh. Your salvation is in your mouth. It's not in works. It's not in ceremony. It's not in a religious code. It's not in a creed. It's not in a standard. Amen. Praise God. I'm not preaching against standard. No, not at all. I'm preaching to you about the highest standard tonight that I know of. And you need relationship with Jesus Christ. Quit trying to bring him down to something he's not. And quit trying to pull him up to something he's not. He is Jesus all by himself. And if you have a relationship with him, then you'll be right where you need to be. I wish I had time to go back and get some of those other verses in chapter 9, because it leads up to that. It's talking about works that was not by faith. Are y'all still reading your Bible, young people? I hope you are. For they stumble, they follow the law, but Israel which followeth after the law, verse 31, of righteousness. I'm talking about righteousness tonight. The righteousness of God hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Amen. But the Gentiles, back in verse number 30, what shall we say then that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, that's talking about the righteousness of the law. I mean, we were, help me, Lord. We were without law. We didn't understand ceremonies and laws and days and months and moons and all. We didn't understand all that. Amen. But somebody come along preaching Jesus to us and we receive that. Amen. And God said, because you had faith in my son and received him, you're righteous. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, amen. Amen. Come on, church. Am I helping you here tonight? We're not going getting over your head here tonight, are we? Amen. I want to get and find out what the righteousness. What, I ask you, what is? Can you tell me? Can you define to me what is the righteousness of God? Well, it's this, and 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 it's you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't go here, and you don't. Oh, wait a minute. You might as well be back there under the law. Amen. I'll tell you what the righteousness of God is. The righteousness of God is faith in Jesus Christ. Would somebody say that? Amen. Faith in Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. Amen. Now you follow me on this and you see if I'm not right. Verse number 3. I may have to come back and preach some more on this sometime. This has been working on me for a long time. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. That's the first big mistake right there. They being ignorant. Now that word, I preached to y'all about that word sometime back. That's not somebody that's stupid, somebody that's senile, somebody that just don't hardly have good sense, somebody that's dyslexic, somebody that didn't learn good in school, and they're just that poor old ignorant fellow. That is not what that word means. It is that root word, the front part of that word that starts out. It's ignore. I'm sorry, I don't have any fancy stories. I don't have any great illustrations to share with you tonight. I'm preaching to you sound doctrine, and we need to receive it. Amen. They, Brother Todd, that had a zeal of God that would do anything. I mean, they would. That you talk about sacrifice. They would do it, and they knew the law. They had a zeal. They wanted to be righteous. All right, but Jesus Christ came. And they ignored him. That's what that word ignorant means. They ignored the righteousness of God. They ignored God's righteousness. So when you ignore God's righteousness, now come on here now, because you'll start seeing, and I may pull some stuff in, because you've seen this, and you've known people that were this way. When you ignore God's righteousness, what do you have to do? Second one. Verse 3, you have to go about to establish your own righteousness. And then when you establish your own righteousness, all of a sudden your own righteousness is as good as God's righteousness. You've known people that way, hadn't you? And it was open for debate. Anything that they thought was their righteousness had to be God's righteousness. That's bringing God down. They were ignorant. They ignored God's righteousness, which was Jesus Christ. So they went about to establish their own righteousness. And in getting their little kingdom and their following and their brood and everything all around them, they would not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. Man, I wish I could preach right here. My Lord, oh God, help me. Amen. It's to bring Christ down. When you start ignoring God's righteousness and you start building up your own righteousness and you won't submit yourselves to the righteousness of God, this verse right here describes a recipe for disaster. Amen. For heartbreak, for shipwreck, not only for yourself, not only for your ministry, but for your family and for your church. My God, help help us here. We have got to get back to our focus on Jesus Christ and knowing what His righteousness is and forget about our righteousness. Amen. Isaiah talked about the righteousness that was by the law. He said, your righteousness is as filthy rags. And I'm not going to tell you what those filthy rags are. But I wish, I'm going to say enough right here that I hope it stays on you. And you'll go home tonight before you go to bed. Look up your concordance and find out what those filthy rags are. Because it wouldn't be right for me to mention it in a mixed congregation. But it might not be exactly what you think it is. Take a look at it. Look it up tonight. I'm going to take a moment here so you'll remember this part. Over there in Isaiah chapter 49. Now, can't remember that one now. 49, I think.
Am I doing y'all any good?
I know, I understand. I really do. In the Holiness Church, we don't like this kind of preaching anymore because it's not emotional enough and it's not fancy enough. But I'm telling you, if we are going to survive these times, we are going to have relationship with Jesus Christ. And going about to establish your own righteousness or picking up on somebody else's code or creed or their righteousness is not going to get the job done. Amen. How many remember in the 11th chapter of Genesis, over there where Nimrod, not too much is mentioned about him in the Bible. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And I don't think that means that he was a great outdoorsman. I think he was a very vile, wicked man that liked to terrorize people and believed in tyranny and wanted to pull the people under. It's Noah's great-grandson. And he's the one that ventures out to the plain and gets some people to follow him. And he says, we will build a tower that will reach all the way to heaven. So they started baking bricks and making them good. And they got them some mortar. And no doubt, Brother Ken, they made them a wonderful foundation. And they started laying brick. Amen. And they started going up and they started going higher. Amen. And I'm telling you, let me tell you something. You know what they said? They wanted their name to continue in the earth. They didn't want their name to cease. And anybody that starts a cult, anybody that starts trying to draw disciples after themselves and won't submit to the righteousness of God and starts trying to, amen, to form their own righteousness, the number one reason that they want to do that is to build a name for themselves. Oh, there's Brother So-and-so. He's in the meeting. Amen. Brother, somebody's coming over here. We got to listen. Amen. And they have went about to establish their own righteousness. Amen. Do I have anybody in the congregation tonight that's bilingual? Y'all can help me do a little illustration. I tried to think today. I didn't know if there was anybody bilingual. Who is? I see somebody pointing. Shana can a little bit. Shana might not like me embarrassing her. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all are looking so sleepy, and I'm so sorry. Who does? Brian Muzzy knows Spanish. Brother, I've been in the South a few days down there where you are. I mean, I can believe this happening, what I'm telling you about. I mean, they almost have their own dialect down there. Praise God. Everybody in the whole world had the same language. This is three generations from Noah. Amen. Nimrod, the son of Cush, I believe, was it? He was the grandson of Ham. Remember Noah's sons? Ham, Shem, Japheth. Come on, y'all doing all right? Are we still doing okay so far? And that now they're out here building this great tower. And all of a sudden, it seemed like it got the attention of God. And the Lord said, we're going to go down there and see what they're doing. So he goes down and he sees, and he knows what their heart is, and they're trying, you know what they're trying to do, Brother Jimmy? They are trying to establish their own righteousness. They are trying to build them a name. They are trying to build them a following. They are not submitting themselves to God Jehovah. Amen. And they're building a tower. They're going to build it all the way into heaven. You say they never got it done. They'll never be able to get that done. Well, that's not what seemed to be that the Lord said. Because he said if we don't do something about it, they're going to accomplish what they set out to do. So one morning they go to work. I can see somebody on the scaffold. You going to help me out a little bit, LaShana? Sit right there. Hey, give me some bricks. Hey, boy, you, hey, give me some bricks. See, like some bosses would do. Climb down off of that ladder. Do you understand plain English? I want bricks. I tell you what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to jerk you up, and we're going in here, and we're going to go see the main boss of this project, and we're going to line you out. You're not doing your job. And they walk into the big boss's office, and they sit down in front of him, and he says, this man won't bring me no bricks. And he says, now I know what y'all, preacher, your imagination is getting away from you. God shut down their establishment of their own righteousness. Oh, help me, Jesus. I know this is on tape, and I know this is going out, and I know this is hearsay, and I know that's dangerous sometimes. And maybe I'm preaching to myself right now, not preaching Christ like I need to. But I heard recently in a meeting, there was a preacher that preached for 2.5 hours. And all kinds of things. I can't imagine what it must have been. But even if boys got together and tried to outspit each other, that somehow that was pride. And little boys couldn't have a spitting contest. I tell you what it sounded like to me. It sounds to me like they're almost in some kind of spitting contest to go that long trying to establish their own righteousness. Church, we got young people. I'm sorry. I wish I could preach you something better. No, I shouldn't say that. God forgive me for saying I can't preach you any better than Christ and Him crucified. Amen. And it's nigh to you. You don't have to worry about learning somebody else's code. You don't have to worry about learning somebody else's ideas. You just submit yourself to Christ. And the word is nigh you, even in your mouth. Amen. And it goes on to that next verse. If we confess the Lord Jesus, amen, and believe in our heart that Christ raised Him from the dead, hallelujah, you shall be saved. I can't tell you anything any better than that. Amen. God help us here. The world's throwing more things at us. I've already told you. Amen. I'm not going to quit preaching against sin. And I'm not going to quit calling out sin when the Holy Ghost will reveal to me what I need to say. Amen. But what might be a temptation to me might not be one to you. And the only thing that's going to sniff that out is the righteousness of God. And unless you have learned to submit yourself to the righteousness of God, you're going to be fooled by somebody else's righteousness. Oh God, I wish I could preach. And that's what's happening. They're ignorant. Ignorant of God's righteousness. It's first mistake. You can be zealous about your code. You can be zealous about your religion. Amen. Jesus did not. He did not go against the teachings of the Pharisees. You hear me? He said, do what they say. Just don't do like they do. There wasn't anything wrong with long garments. There wasn't anything wrong with long prayers. Hey, man, I need to preach in here tonight. Y'all want to debunk some more scriptures? I probably need to get away from that for a little while. I'm taking way too long. Too long. Help me, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other. Oh, my. Man. That's good preaching right there, isn't it? Let each esteem others better than himself. He's doing better than me. He's living better than me. Man, I heard a preacher. This was not mine. It was one of the most profound statements I've heard in a long time. He said, a backslid preacher. So I was visiting somebody in the hospital. The backslid preacher slapped me on the back, called him by name, and said, oh, when I was in, I was more strict than you are. He turned around and looked at him. He said, I'm not trying to be strict. I'm trying to be holy. Let that sink in for a while. When you are trying to be strict, you say, we don't need to be strict. You're trying to preach, tear down the standard. No, matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite. There's some things that is eroding away about our standards that's troubling me beyond imagination. Amen. And I realize some of those things that y'all are doing, I preached against and called it out. Amen. Until I'm at my wit's end and I don't know what to do to get it to stop. Amen. And I'm trying to learn like you're trying to learn. I'm stepping back and saying, I got to get my people to fall in love with Jesus. I got to get them to get the righteousness of God and the righteousness of Christ, because I'm never going to get the job done. Amen. And when you start dissecting every little thing and you start down that slippery slope of, well, what I'm doing when I do this is no worse than what they do, and it's no different than what this is, and this is no different than what that is, and that's no different than that. That's not the way the Bible teaches us to do. Anyway, because somebody else might not be righteous, because they're doing it, they may not be submitting themselves to the righteousness of God, and you're over here saying, "Well, I'm going to do it. It ain't no worse than me doing this than." But that's not the point. That's not the point. Whether you're doing worse than what they're doing, are you submitting yourself to the righteousness of God? It's just that simple, church. So, I've made a change. I'm not trying to be strict. I'm trying to be holy. Oh, God. Church, please, would you let that soak in for a little bit? If every one of us would quit trying to be strict, and every one of us, I mean, I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, a holy God requires holiness. A holy God demands holiness. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with us preaching holiness. Amen. But you know what's happened? The definition has been redefined. And when we get up and say we're preaching on holiness, amen, everybody's mind, at least from 50, 60 years ago, amen, connects holiness with strict. And I know some strict people that are not holy. Just because you're strict don't mean you're holy. There is a chasm. There is a gulf of difference between being strict and being holy. My God, I wish I could preach in here tonight. Amen. I do not make fun. I do not put down. Amen. My brethren that were in the fire baptized. Hear me preach now. I just come out of the South. We didn't talk about that down there, but that's just on my mind. Amen. In the South, they're still big on church attendance. A lot of those churches still have church attendance and membership. In Oklahoma, bless God, we are so strictly holy, whatever, independently, something. I mean, I've heard it nearly preached. If somebody was a church member, just that within itself somehow made you not a Christian if you joined a church or you took a license with somebody. Amen. But in that part of the world, even in the South, that's still very people want to be a church member. There's nothing wrong with that. But my holy brethren, brother, I remember. And again, I know this is going down, and I'm not saying this with hatred or bitterness or envy or anything. I'm calling a name. When we lived on Katy Street in the parsonage, are y'all doing all right so far? Am I going too long? And I know Sister Nancy, no doubt you probably knew him. But Brother Beecham come and stayed in our home. You probably remember him, Brother Nelson. You remember Brother Beecham? It was the head overseer for the fire baptized in Alabama and Georgia. For the first time. Now listen to me. You know, they didn't cook on Sunday. Now I could preach a long time right here, right now. How many believe the commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? But because we have learned that our Sunday, now listen, I don't mean to pop any, we're debunking stuff tonight, Brother David, but Sunday is not the Sabbath. Are y'all still here? Our Sunday is not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. Amen. The Christian church worship God on the first day of the week. We decided to give God the first instead of the last. And the Christian, the New Testament church, you can go back, run the history on it. I've studied it out. They worshiped on Sunday. But many of the Jews that converted from Judaism, that accepted Christ, they did continue to keep the Sabbath. But since we've been free from the Sabbath, now when Sunday comes along, we do everything we want to do. We fish, we hunt, we shoot, we shop, we buy, we sell. Sunday is if we have time to do it between services. And bless God, if we don't have time to do it between services, we do it anyway because we're not under the law. See all y'all carnal folks back there. I'm not under the law. I got freedom. I can do anything I want to do. You know what? You know what? You're fixing to go around and start trying to establish your own righteousness. Again, man, some of you are saying, man, I'm not trying to be strict. But I'm trying to be holy. And I want you to have a hunger and a desire to be holy. I remember Brother Galen, that little parsonage over there on Katy Street. Brother Beecham come to see us. We honored his wishes. And I remember sitting down to that table on Sunday to cold chicken that Mom had fixed the day before. Because Brother Beecham, the overseer from the fire baptized of the South, was in our home. And Mom couldn't stand to make her children eat cold gravy, so she heated the gravy up. And Brother Beecham wouldn't eat the gravy because it had been heated on Sunday. Huh? You know, I'm not deriding him. I'm telling you, church, if y'all know my heart, if you're getting my heartbeat tonight, you're understanding, and you're thinking about some things right now while I'm preaching. We're just going to shove everything out the door and forget about everything and just go on and go. And no, when you do that, you're going to start to establish your own righteousness. But I'm not running after somebody else that everything somebody comes along and they, you know, we all got to take a stand and we all got to stand up and we all got to go to the platform. We all got to see it this way because we're, huh? You're establishing your own righteousness. And the danger that is when you establish your own righteousness, you don't want to submit yourself to the righteousness of God. I forgot to look and see what time it was when I started. And I wanted to preach short because I wanted to leave and I wanted to go see my new member over at the hospital. But you know what happened to those folks in the South? Those, that fellowship, they don't hardly have any churches at all. At one time, they were a booming movement. But when they would get together, listen to this. Listen to me. I've heard preachers in our that we've rubbed elbows with make statements, Brother Nelson, like, I tell you what the preachers need to do. They need to all get together and sit down and decide what we're going to stand for, what's going to be holiness and what's not, and just write it all down and get it out to everybody. That never has worked, and it never will work. Let me tell you what happened. This is, I think I read this in Richard Crane's book. Sister Sharon, those people that honored and respected one another. Next year, when they come back to have their book again, Brother Somebody felt like the Lord had dealt with him to lay off something. So they wanted to honor what he felt like the Lord told him to do, so they wrote that down in the book. And then somebody else felt like the Lord dealt with him about doing something, so they wrote that down in the book. And all of them loved each other so much that they all wanted to honor each other's whatever they felt like the Lord wanted them. And I'm not, probably there may not have been any of those things that was not God sent to those people. But what happened when those brethren started trying to live every one of those things? Year after year after year after year, Brother Hugh, it just got longer and longer and longer until they said, here's my license. I'm turning them in. I can't do it. Okay. I read today that's exactly where they was in Jesus' time with the Pharisees. You know what? They made long their phylacteries because they were so carried away with keeping the cleanliness of the ceremonial law that once they got that, it wasn't that they was necessarily trying to be mean or had a bad attitude. They'd went to all that work, Brother Dave, to get that done. And because of that, they couldn't, nobody could touch them, because if they did, they were defiled again. Brother Galen can witness this. When we was in the part of Israel where there was Orthodox and practicing Jews, the bus would drive up to the little city. There was little wires. They almost looked like hot wires you'd put around your cattle pen. And they zigzagged this way, this way, this way, this way, back this way. We said, what is that? And they said, oh, that's been measured from the city. This wire right here establishes a Sabbath day's journey. Anyway, are y'all hearing me preach? It was that tight, brother. They had to be careful. You might have, if you went this way, you might have went a little further than a Sabbath day's journey. You know what? You just broke the law. You're in bad shape. I'm telling you, it's a reason a lot of people have holes in their doctrine. And that's the reason people say, well, it's no different than this. It's no, you know why? Because the lines they've drawn are this way, and 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 this way. The people grow up and they don't know what to do, when all we have to do is submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. And when you're there, it's the faith in Jesus Christ. And it is even in your mouth. My God, son, I'm not preaching this so hard you can't live it, can you? I'm trying to preach this so easy. Amen. That anybody that will submit themselves to the righteousness of God, hallelujah, amen, can say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I confess him. I receive him. Man, I got to hurry. Amen. A lot of times on my notes, I put in, so I don't have anything. I should have put one paper in there. Wrote end on it. Look not every man on his own things, every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Who being the form of God, Jesus was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Wow! Now, here's this so misinterpreted. taken out of context, wrested scripture that I know of in the Bible. People use it on you all the time. Wherefore, my beloved, they wouldn't even get that out of it if they would read the whole verse. They only quote a part of the verse. As ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, comma, but now much more in my absence, comma, work out your own salvation. How many of you, bless God, have heard that scripture? By your folks and your friends that don't want to live anything. And they tell you what the Bible said as though you didn't know it. And you should be so impressed because they quoted scripture. Next time they do that, ask them, tell them you want chapter and verse. And they won't even know where it's at. But they know the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What did you just, did y'all just read those 8 or 9 verses I just read? It's not talking about establishing your own righteousness and working out whatever you think is right and whatever you feel like you prayed through to and whatever. It's just okay. I got the Bible. Can work out my own salvation. I'll tell you what you're doing. You're resting your scripture and that scripture to your own destruction. If Jesus, being equal with God, submitted himself to the righteousness of God and took upon him the form of a servant and became obedient to the righteousness of God, you think you can just blow in here now in your generation and work out your own salvation? Go to church when you want to go. Stay home when you want to. Do what you want to do whenever you want to do. Wear whatever you want to wear. And I ain't taking nothing out here and listen to the preacher say nothing. I'm working out my own salvation. You need to read what Paul has said. He told him something great about Jesus. And then he said, you've done good. When I was there, you obeyed what I said. And now I've got word that even in my absence, you're still obeying. I think you're doing good. You can do it on your own now. You can go a ways by yourself. When I was there, you done what I said. When I left, you still walked in the commandment. I think I can trust you. That's what he's saying. To go on your own for a while. Amen. And you know what, church? That's what I'm trying to do. That's where I'm trying to get your daughter, brother. That's where I'm trying to get my children. That's where I want yours. Is where they can work out their own salvation because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. And their obedience to the word and their submission to the righteousness of God, that they can work out their own. They're going to read it. They're going to love it. They're going to worship God. They're going to get in. They're going to go to the youth camps. They're going to work. They're going to praise God. They're going to sing. They can work out their own. This working out your own salvation, do what you want to do when you please. That's building your own. That's establishing your own righteousness. How'd I do, old timers? How'd I do? How'd I do on that? Did I debunk that pretty good? Come on, tell me, did I or not? And then it continues to, if you read the next one, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. Listen, work out my own salvation so I can do my own pleasure. So I can do whatever I want to do and I just pray and God's going to help me and it's all going to be fine. No, that's not what the Bible said. It said to both will and to do of His. Who? Oh man, I wish I was doing better. I'm feeling a little bit defeated right now, really. Man, I know. I understand. I know this kind's different. I know. But I've tried to tell you something tonight. If you'll do what I'm telling you, amen. Don't ignore the righteousness of God. Don't ignore the testimonies of the saints that you have confidence in, that they've prayed through to, and that they've been a good example in front of you. Don't ignore that. Don't just pass that off as nothing. People didn't get our holiness standards, as we call it, just out of the Cracker Jack box. Amen. Did I commend the fire baptized brethren real well a while ago? God was dealing with them. I said, I don't believe God was. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. God was dealing with them to work out their own salvation. Amen. But it wasn't to come back to the next meeting and put it in the book and everybody else do it. So they could have a name and a following and promote their own righteousness. That wasn't it. Praise God. I don't know maybe if I should give an altar call or not, but I tell you what I feel like doing. Everybody will stand right now. Somebody try to find me on the piano. And if y'all want to come and pray, you can. I've kept you a long time, and I'm needing to go to the hospital too. If you want to be dismissed right now, I'm okay with that too. That way I'm not cutting anybody out, and I'm not holding anybody up. But I want to sing this song. I don't know what I'd do without my Lord. Well, I don't know what I'd do without my Lord. When I look around and see what the good Lord's done for me, I don't know what I'd do without my Lord. If somebody else wants to lead it and y'all want to find another key, that's all right. This is the part I wanted to get to. I can't live a holy life without my Lord. Well, give me a backup. A holy life without my Lord. Well, when I look around and see what the good Lord's done for me, I don't know what I'd do without my Lord.